Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Now, before we go any further, don't forget to download the notes. Amen. All of the outline of the whole broadcast, everything that's said and everything, all the scriptures be outlined in order so you can study right along with us. And of course, you can use it to teach a Sunday school class or whatever you need to do. Praise the Lord. Just go to kcm.org/notes and download it and get it ready. And we're going to have a good time today. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you today for this word. We thank you for this broadcast. And sir, we welcome you. We open our hearts and minds to you. We receive revelation from you, about you, through you, from you, for you. You are our God. You are our Savior, and you are our teacher. And we thank you for it, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Come on now and join me in welcoming Dr. Caroline Leaf to this broadcast. I know what everybody now is going, oh, yeah. Because the broadcast we did before, some of the highest responses we've ever had from any broadcast over the years. So,
that's incredible.
And
we're all very interested in our brains.
Yes.
Very interested.
Well, you know, and for centuries, I guess, Christian people thought, well, you don't. There was even a time when Christians thought you weren't even supposed to be educated. All you need, all that education stuff and all that brain stuff, no, you know, all that. Well, that's just what the devil wanted you to do,
Sure. Do
something stupid like that. Let's open our Bibles this morning to 1 John, and let's look in the 4th chapter of 1 John and in the 16th verse. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. Now remember, this didn't say God has love. It said God is love. He is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Now let's go over to the 5th chapter and let's look at the 18th verse. We know that whosoever is born of God. Now wait a minute.
That's me.
God is love. So, I mean, here we got just one chapter away. So let's look at that like this. We know that whosoever's born of love sinneth not, but he that's born of love keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not.
Not.
Now we're born of love. God is love. God created the brain.
Exactly.
So the brain was created by love, for love.
Yeah.
It wasn't created for sin. See, if you keep yourself in the love of God, you keep yourself out of sin.
That's right.
So, I remember on those other broadcasts how impressed I was. It was just something that set me back, and I've thought about it again and again ever since.
Mm-hmm.
That the brain, the human brain, mm-hmm. is wired for love. It's not wired for unforgiveness,
mm-hmm.
not wired for fear. Perfected love casteth
That's
out
right.
fear. Right here in the fourth, right here in this fourth chapter, mm-hmm. 1 John, that perfected love is the force of God Himself is totally opposite and absolutely alien from fear. It flushes fear
out.
Now, here's what got to me so. You made this statement that you said our brain's not wired for love. Not wired for fear and unbelief, because unbelief is fear-based.
Yes.
And unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. It's wired for love. And you said fear, unbelief, thoughts actually damage the brain.
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
I was just speechless. I thought, whoa. Now think about the most, including Christians, the most dominant thoughts in human life today are not love thoughts.
No.
So all the reason Satan has been able to be the god of this world and its systems is because it's all fear-based. So their brains are actually in a state of chaos and damage all the time. And he, I'm talking about the devil, thrives in that atmosphere.
Exactly.
And it's
Don't you remember chaos?
Oh, yeah. Me and chaos was twins for a long time. So now, I've done my part, now you do yours.
Well, you did such a good part. I'm just listening and thinking, wow. Every time I listen to you two, I am so enriched. I learn 1,000 things more, and my head's going, wow, there's some more stuff to do about the brain and add more things in. You two are incredible. Thank you so much for the honor of being here. And
thank you
for being
coming.
My teacher for so many years, really, both of you.
Well,
everything
honored.
I know about the Word is based on what I've learned from you two.
Caroline, I'm so excited about just diving into this. I need to say a word here, particularly about you and your ministry. For those of you that are not acquainted with Dr. Caroline Leaf, she is a brain scientist, and her work over the years is very unique, simply from this aspect. When she was a young girl, she got on the Word of Faith. Born and raised in South Africa, and our ministry in South Africa is 35 years this year. When she began her studies, she did so from, instead of going to science first, she went to the Word. She was already strong in the Word of God before she got into her doctorate studies and so forth, because there's a number of years there. She's already grounded in the Word of Faith and the Word of God. And the Word was final authority in her life, not science. And this is vitally important. I still know, scientists, particularly one man, this group of scientists, they were all over the world, but they were linked together and they studied together.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start with the Word, that the Word is truth. Now, this is what she did. We're starting with the Word, and the Word is truth. Now, the science has to match the Word. The Word doesn't have to match the science.
Exactly.
And the reason that it was so startling to other scientists is because they didn't understand. They thought the Word was way behind scientists, mm-hmm. when actually it wasn't. It was way ahead of it. Mm-hmm. And they said, we're going to do it from the Hebrew language, because we're going to start at the raw Word of God.
Mm.
The breakthroughs that came out of that in all
fields.
Different kinds of scientific fields. Mm-hmm. And this is where the breakthroughs that you saw early on, mm-hmm. that the rest in your field thought was actually thought it was ludicrous. It just couldn't be that way. And and they've realized now, yes, it is.
Exactly.
But what happened? You caught up with the Word.
Exactly.
And I want people to know that, that's where we're, where you're coming from here.
That's it. That's my foundation.
And it's so amazing when you really know that the Word's true. It takes all the pressure off.
It does. It does. You don't have to try and prove anything. You just have to find the confirmation of the truth.
Yeah, it's in there.
The science just, you know, kind of comes and packs
it. And it changes everything.
Oh, it does.
Everything.
Yes, it does.
Oh, my. Thank God.
Thank God.
Amen. Go, girl.
Okay. Well, I love that you brought out those two scriptures, because another one is Genesis 1:26, where we made in His image. So to start with the foundation of we made in His image, I think we've forgotten all about what that image is. And as you pointed out in those scriptures, this God is love, so we are wired for love. And I think if we start looking at ourselves from that angle, it changes everything. So from a scientific angle, we are wired for love, which means every structure of your brain, every neurotransmitter, every circuit, every enzyme path, every protein path, every part of the human body, everything about us physically and everything in the world we live in is all wired for love. Even our food is wired for love. Everything is designed to enhance what God has designed to enhance what He has created. So in other words, if we're wired for love, that means that we learn to fear. It's not a natural response. It's actually something we have to learn. So what the scientists have seen is that when we make a wrong choice, whether it's, and our mind is driving pretty much all our mind is driving our choices, then that becomes a physical reality, which is what we spoke about in the last broadcast, how thoughts are real things, how they occupy mental real estate. Mm-hmm. But thoughts don't just happen. You know, the brain doesn't change itself. The brain doesn't just make thoughts. It's your mind, separate from your brain, over and above your brain, that actually builds the thoughts. So if we wired for love, that means that we are designed to think well, choose well, and build healthy thoughts.
So we're back to that place that we can never forget, that the brain is a physical organ that the spirit uses.
Yes, exactly.
That the soul uses. We are a spirit being. We have a soul.
Yes.
Your mind is part of that soul.
Yes.
Your mind, your will,
emotions.
Your emotions, and that soul is part of your spirit.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But your soul, and in this case we're talking primarily, but not entirely, because your emotions are part of that fear syndrome.
Well. Mm-hmm.
And faith syndrome.
Exactly.
That's an emotional part of it, mm-hmm. which then goes back to the brain.
Yep.
And you jump in here and you uncross me if I get this out of line now.
Are you getting it?
Where the mind is using the brain as its physical tool in a physical world.
Perfect. You've said it better than I could say it. That is exactly. And if you're informed by the Word of God, if that's where you start, that's what you'll say. But if you're informed without the Word of God, so scientists that don't believe in God, they will say that the brain changes itself. Now, the brain can't change itself, because if you're dead, your brain can't do anything. No matter how fancy it is and how incredible it is, it only works when you're alive.
That's right.
So the brain can't change itself. The brain is subservient to the soul. The soul is subservient to the spirit. The spirit of man is subservient to the spirit of God.
You just said something there. It only works while it's alive.
Exactly.
Well, let's go back to Scripture.
Luke.
Jesus said, when the rich man
Luke 16,
and Lazarus,
yep.
The rich man died, went into hell,
mm-hmm.
Lazarus was carried into paradise,
mm-hmm.
and Abraham then said to the rich man, son, remember when you fared well and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. But now, wait a minute.
He hasn't got a brain.
He hasn't got a brain.
He hasn't got the five senses.
Where's the brain? Exactly. It's in a hole upstairs there someplace. But the man is not less aware since his body had died. Exactly. He's more aware.
He's more aware. His five senses are sharper. His memory is sharper. He recalls. His emotions are sharper. Everything, because that's what's real. That's what's got the eternal value, we discussed last time. You know, since we discussed that last time in the broadcast, I've been teaching that in churches around the world, and it's been such a good way of teaching how the mind is separate from the brain, because that's the big debate in science, is they try and say that the mind is the separate thing, and they have what they call a monist approach, where the brain produces everything. So they're trying to reduce us down to a bag of chemicals, or to be some kind of, just a biological automaton, like a biological, robot, and that we don't have any say over our life, we don't have any choices, we're genetically predetermined. You know, they're trying to remove the humanness out of the human. And that's what I'm fighting against with what I teach, to teach people. And so many people have got sucked into that. And we see that in the medical world. We see how mental health is managed. We see how diet is managed, where people are being led in the wrong direction. And it really is a Hosea 4 verse 6. My people are perishing for lack of knowledge. And we have to educate the body of Christ, because we have the answer to recognize what it means to be wired for love. You know, and I love Ecclesiastes 7:29, which says, I made them virtuous, I made them perfect, that they choose to go down their own pathway. So it confirms that those scriptures that you've just read, and Genesis 1:26 and all the others, that confirm that our default mode, our start mode, the core of who we are, is perfection, love. And then we have free will. And as we choose, we wire in layer upon layer upon layer of toxicity. So we learn to fear, because when we wire in toxicity, or when we're making choices, we are actually learning. So wherever you're directing your attention, or whatever you're thinking about, becomes a physical reality inside your brain. Because as you've already said so eloquently, your brain simply is there to represent what our mind is actually doing. So it just becomes like a fancy photocopying machine, a very sophisticated one. But it's still capturing whatever the mind is telling it to capture. You know, so if we if a structure is designed to work in a certain way, and you don't use it in that way, you damage it. So that comes back to the first point that you made, that we discussed last time. If we make a wrong choice, we actually create brain damage, and then that creates chaos in our brain. You know, then we're feeling ill, and we're feeling awful, and all that kind of stuff, and mentally in chaos. And then we kind of saying, you know, God, why did you do this to me? Or why is this happening to me? Or suddenly the devil's attacking. The devil's always attacking, but he's an illusionist. As we know, he's an illusionist is someone who tricks. It seems like that, but it's not actually that
deceiver way.
It's a deceiver. So that's what the world has been deceived into, thinking that fear is a normal part of the human psyche. And it's not. It's an abnormal part. So I always tell people, and you know, so many times I hear pastors preaching from the pulpit and people saying things like, oh, well, I'm not perfect, you know. But that's wrong. You are perfect. But you've chosen to wire in imperfection.
You know, the one
that's a good way to say it.
The one that hacks me probably more than any. Well, you know, we're just human.
Yes.
I am not only human.
No. We're superhuman.
No. We got born again. I'm telling you, we're not just human anymore.
No, that's an excuse to behave badly. That's an excuse.
That's exactly. That said that right there.
Yeah, then they listen to the world of science that without God, that says, oh, there's a gene for bad behavior, and there's a gene for this and a gene for that. So we are taught in the world without God that you are not responsible for your actions, that it's not your fault, that everything that happens to you is because of the physical part of you, which is then generating the mind. So they say that the mind is an emergent property, which means it's like they say the mind is like a residue, a mistake. So what counts in the world without the scientists that don't believe in God, they say that what counts is what the little neurons in the brain are doing, and the neurotransmitters and the biology. And they say that that's where consciousness lies, and it produces this artifact called mind. That's not what the Bible says. Mm-mm. That's completely back to front. It's the mind that actually physically changes the brain. And you know, 30 years ago when I started out in this field, I asked a ridiculous question. And that ridiculous question was, Can the mind change the brain? And the reason I say it was ridiculous was because all my professors and the people in the field told me that's ridiculous. The brain can't change. It was 30 years ago we were trained that the brain cannot change. And the belief was that if there was any kind of brain damage, any kind of trauma, any kind of anything going on in the brain, well, you just had to teach your patients to compensate, just to kind of functionally kind of cope. But the Word of God says He came to set us free, He came to set the captives free. We can renew our mind. We can bring thoughts into captivity. We can be recreated new. I mean, the Word, we know what the Word says. So I was thinking as I was being trained, why should I just teach my patients to compensate? That's like it's like a give up attitude. It's negative. It is one of, if your mind can change your brain, then your brain has to obey your mind. And if your mind is renewed by the Spirit of God, then your brain has to change. And so I started researching that. And I worked with thousands of people. And I worked with people with traumatic brain injuries, with Alzheimer's, with learning disabilities. Wherever there was some kind of communication pathology, so in other words, there was something wrong with how they were functioning, we were trained to then track it back to what was going on in the brain. So what people were saying and doing reflects damage in the brain, which reflects damage in the mind. So if you can fix the mind, you can fix the brain, you can fix the communication. That was the logic that I was applying, because that's what the Word of God says. It says, do not fear, think on these things. You know, if you do what God says, things change in your life. Physical healing happens. I mean, you know, with healing school and, you know what's happened in your lives. So if that's the case, if that's the reality, then we have to change how we perceive ourselves. So I worked with one particular case was where I worked with someone who literally had hardly any brain left from a car accident. And she was written off as a vegetable. And her parents would not give up on her. And they spoke the Word into her brain because they believed that she was wired for love. And they spoke the Word over her. She came out of her coma. She was 16 at the time of the accident. By the time they came to me for actual therapy, which was 14 months after her accident. And this is going back many, many years now. We're looking at like almost 25 years ago. I was still very new in that research. So I was still researching. Can the mind change the brain? How does this work? What are the techniques that we need to do scientifically? So the parents wanted to work with me in wherever level I was. Here's the miracle. That young girl who was supposed to be a vegetable, she heard her parents praying over her when she was in a coma. She was so determined. She chose with her mind to overcome the physical state of her body. She woke up. She got back to an academic status. Now, she was 16 at the time of her accident, so and a very average student. When I say got back to academic status, she was operating at 14 months after her accident at a fourth grade level. Now, that may not sound a lot, but for someone who's a vegetable, fourth grade, it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Now, she was so determined because she said that that's not where I want to be. I want to be back with my peer group and I want to finish 12th grade. So that's when I started working with her. She had to catch up from 4th grade to 12th grade in 8 months because in 8 months' time she was going to be finishing school. Now, that was a ridiculous goal. Once again, someone without hardly any brain tissue, huge damage. Mm-hmm. And so I was told I'm ridiculous. So long story short, this young woman was so determined, worked with me for 8 months, 3 hours a day she worked on her own and 3 hours a day, twice a week with me. Long story short, this young girl finished 12th grade. With her peer group.
God.
She went on to get a degree. This vegetable got a degree.
You saw it work.
I saw it work. I saw her determination, and that's one of thousands of cases. She changed so radically, and the big thing here is that in that kind of brain damage, if they do come around, normally their intellectual quotient, their IQ, which is, I don't even really like that much, but it was a measure, normally goes down 30 points. Do you know what happened to her? She became a genius. Her IQ went up with brain damage, with holes in her brain. So when I saw that case, then I knew. Then I knew.
Praise God.
And we're out of time.
We're out of time.
My goodness.
That is an awesome story.
We'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.